you live on forever and ever and ever when you go to heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Jesus died on the cross. Okay. Wasn't that the beginning of eternal life for us?
In this club, yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
so in that definition of eternal life, why do we still die?
Mm-hmm.
That's the old self. That's the flesh. The flesh dies.
The old self has already been put to death.
Yeah.
So from the truth is, guys, I don't know the answer to this, but
I know.
Jesus said, "I'll be with you always," and I always sounds like a always long time.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as he's with me always, I'll be with him always. That's, I don't know, maybe close to eternal.
I don't have any doubt that we are in Christ right now, but as far as being in eternal life at this moment, I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
Aren't we living God's will right now? Are we?
So who are we?
Careful what you say, man.
Yeah.
Well, if you know, he is in us and we are in him, then
you know what God's will is?
No, but he does.
Yeah. Good, Beth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Okay. So is God eternal?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we've been told that.
We've been told that.
No, I mean we in forever and ever, like in the Bible.
Yeah. That's Dennis ordered us to believe that.
Okay. So God is eternal. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. All right. I'm not before Abraham, not after Abraham. I am.
So where are you going with this?
I am is a state of eternal existence. It's not, it's timeless.
Yeah.
It's present always. There's no sense of time in God.
And yet
he's timeless, endless. There's no beginning and no end with God.
So what?
So?
So
what? Yeah. So if God is timeless, endless, eternal, and where does he live? Where is he?
We already know where he lives.
You do?
Mm-hmm. He's in us.
Is it? Okay. In us.
You didn't know that? You acted like you were surprised.
Yeah. Paul says we live, breathe, have our being in God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a paradox, a conundrum for us. If we live in, do we live in time? Is our,
mm-hmm.
are
we
finite?
Are presently bound by that dimension or construct.
We are bound by time. We are born in, is it, we're into time.
Our
life is time, and we change through time. But God, who is timeless, lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work? How do we describe that?
This is where it becomes a little Einsteinian and Elon Musk-y.
Yeah, I wonder if even Einstein could have figured it out.
Yeah,
well, you know,
I want to see you try and explain this, Dennis.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, from my side, my life as I know it has a beginning and an end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of evidence that I'll die.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I don't expect that I will die. I mean, if I'm in Christ, and everything you've just said, Dennis, death is just this body of mine will mm-hmm. be dead, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, it's getting thick in here now.
So death is really the end insofar as being bound in time. Death is then losing this body, this house.
We're not to fear, and we're not to see death as the be all end all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But the Bible also says that even though death has been conquered, it's not fully abolished yet. There will be a day in which death will be fully abolished.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting, won't it?
Okay. Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, it just hasn't come yet.
That's probably for another.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, come on, Dennis, give it your best shot.
So what? Can we get our head around existing as in a body that also, which is confined by time, which also is the place where eternal, endless God exists.
It's also the place where bad behaviors exist as well.
Right. And you explained that well this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where do those behaviors come from?
False belief.
Well, it's misidentity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how does the Bible, when it says, when we believe in Jesus, we put in faith in Jesus, we have eternal life. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Eternal means endless.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you have to realize that when we shed these physical bodies,
mm-hmm.
time becomes of no consequence, matter.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like Beth said, right now we're bound by time. We're bound by these bodies of ours. But when the time comes where this the flesh perishes,
mm-hmm.
time's not going to have any meaning to us.
Okay. But is it an accurate description of God in us? Is it eternal as we've understood it, as the words we have grown up with in Christianity?
That you taught
those are those words, eternal life, the best description of God in time, God living in us as finite beings.
That's not how the pastor at Newell used to say it.
Okay.
It's sounding like the answer is a no.
here's the issue. The word, as we've mentioned and talked about before, is a word that's overlooked in the Bible. And in fact, there is really no English direct equivalent for the adjective of this word. The adjective of eon, which is an indefinite period of time, the adjective is aeonium. And earlier translators determined that meant eternal life, endless life. But that's an inaccurate description if you really think about it. Technically, we still are in time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
If you look at the adjective aeonian, mm-hmm. as I understand it,
yeah,
it's still bound by the thought of or the understanding of time.
Exactly. The best descriptions for that term, and by the way, the text this morning, if you're looking and read John 17, Jesus is saying, he's going to give us, this is my paraphrase, life aeonian. Okay, that's
the endless life
term that he uses. Now, most Bibles say life eternal. But is that a life eternal? Does that properly describe?
No.
Well, what does Ionian mean? What is what's the Greek for?
Once again, if you once you put in the life eternal, you you tie it down to the concept of time as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does the word mean?
Okay. Now the root word means eon. It means indefinite period of time, or described as an age. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And the adjective then means life spanning ages or life through the ages or of the ages. These are all the various ways that the English is trying to get at the meaning of that adjective, the Greek adjective.
But you're still tied down by by the traditional view of time.
Okay.
So now here, the traditional view of time, Scott, is flawed because don't you visualize time on a linear line?
Mm-hmm.
Like how they taught us in textbooks, here's the line and it has the BC and then 500 and then AD, 300, 500, and then this happened and this happened, when actually time is a burrito. No, Einstein proved that. And
now we're missing the point here, because if Christ has already died, Christ has already conquered death. It's funny because Christ is in us, but he doesn't know the meaning of the word. He doesn't understand the concept of the past, of the passing of time.
Okay, Scott,
are you saying Jesus doesn't know the concept of the passing of time?
Because he's not bound by that.
Okay.
I would expect Jesus understands that just clearly. I mean, he knows us.
Yeah.
It's just the word ages to me has a connotation of a beginning and an end. An age starts sometime and it ends, and then there's another age, perhaps, at least in the linear thinking that I've grown up in.
Right. And how history has been defined for us.
Right.
Is there an ending to God? Is God ever so end?
So if in fact
answer the question,
there are ages, if we live in life of the ages or life spanning the ages, then that indicates that there are periods of time in which we live, and eternal doesn't really give us that idea. Okay, you know, there are said to be seven different ages described in the Bible.
Okay, that would be good to know.
Yeah, just go look up, I think you can find, and if you just do a Google search on Aeonian life, E-O-N-I-O-N, and you'll find it. You'll find some descriptions. You'll find some articles.
Can you rattle some off that you know, though, like ages?
He doesn't know those.
Yes, and probably the best description, and I can send you the little, the same writer, the writer of the New Testament that we've been reading from, the Concordant, this little Bible, the Concordant. Get it up here. Oh, my screen won't show it. Okay.
It's so little. It's you can't see it. The human eye can't detect it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So there it is. There it is. You got it. In the light. Okay. Concordant. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
what book is it in, Dennis?
A. E. Nock, who is the author of this Bible, of this New Testament, also wrote a little book called All. And you can find the PDF to that little book, and I'll link it to you.
Please do.
And it's pretty heavy reading, because he is, his mind is, is so, his knowledge of the Greek and the original is so profound. I've never read anybody that has such a broad knowledge of the Greek and the scriptures.
Okay, we've come up empty here.
And he describes the seven different ages that the word Aeonian fits. There are seven different ages in which God's plan and the period of time he got established for the world, for the universe, okay? And we are in a certain age. Us living right now are in one of those ages. But our life will transcend this age and go on to another age. And then after the end, final age, the final consummation, in which we understand that time will be no more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this, Jesus is giving us Aeonian life, life that spans all those ages, or the age we live in and the next age and the ages to come.
That also implies that when there is no time, then there will be no more ages.
But scripture also tells us that with God, there is, a minute is like a thousand years.
Right. A
like,
year yes. to us, or a, yeah. A,
yeah.
Yeah. A thousand years to us is like a year to him.
Yeah.
So yes. how can we have the indwelling spirit of someone like that and not have that realization ourselves?
That's a very good question, Scott.
Yeah, I know.
Well, wait, what was the question?
Okay, can you say the question again, Scott?
Okay.
I'm not following.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. How can we have where, like I said before, the scripture says, with God, 1 minute is like 1,000 years.
Right.
How can we have that indwelling spirit inside of us and not have that realization ourselves?
Who says we didn't realize it?
Yeah.
The same people who say we're bound by time?
I'm not bound by other people, what they're saying. Yeah, you know, why not? Why, that can be fine for me. 1 minute's like a long time or a short time. You know, God himself created the ages. That's where we get the notion of ages. And we also are told that ages will end. Okay, I get that.
But we're still bound by time right now.
Yeah, but that we're in an age, Scott.
So, Scott,
God can be doing something now simultaneously in what we would refer to as ancient history, but it could also be right now. And you know what? This is way above my pay grade, but it has to do with like the cosmos. And if you just kind of like read up on like some of that, you know, stuff.
That's the best answer we've had. That's the best answer we've had to this.
Oh, and it's not even an answer.
Yeah. So Paul, this is why Paul calls it the mystery. Eternal God living in time. The mystery of godliness, he calls it.
But Christ,
God, God in the flesh.
When Christ walked the earth, it was in the same vein as that.
So Jesus says, you see me, you see the Father. You are looking at the present God living as is, I am. Not bound himself by any time. He just is. So we live in him. We live and move in him. We have our existence in him. At the same time, we are living in time. So we have we have endlessness bound by finiteness. That's now,
where we transcend that. I think the where we transcend that is our belief that we're not bound by these by the physical bodies that we're that we're in. And when that time comes, when that day comes, we will be part of that conversation, the endless time.
So, Scott, the mystery of godliness appears as you. All right. The appearance of life that spans ages shows up in time as you, as me.
Now, can you imagine my trying to explain that to somebody else?
Oh, it's very hard.
If they ask me and say, well, what do you think about this whole eternal life thing?
Yeah, this and is why this is why the word eternal life, as we read it in the English translations, is misleading. It throws us off. And furthermore, here's how we've gotten around this. We've always thought, okay, eternal life is endless, but I live in time, which has an end. So it must mean that the next life is endless, not now. And so what's my next life? Well, that's heaven. So eternal life is used to describe heaven. But nowhere in the Bible does it define eternal life as heaven.
Well, I think they've done a poor, you know, the original translators did a poor job of, you know, putting some of these ideas down.
Well,
I know. Once again, it comes down to semantics. It's, hello.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
It's like, what do they, what do they mean by that?
Okay. This is why when you go to John 17:3, that Jesus gives us, he doesn't give us eternal life. That's the that is a misnomer. That is a bad English translation of the word aeonian. And so the best, most literal Bible, such as the Concordant, will actually use the Greek word aeonian, because there's very little or any English equivalents to define that word. So let's just use the original word.
Right.
Okay, he gives us life aeonian.
And it, well, I have to read the NIV because I'm very remedial, but I will substitute the word eternal for aeonian. So he says in verse 3, now this is aeonian life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So the fact that if we know him means our spiritual side, our spiritual self has been awakened, and we are aware of, because even basic old paradigm Bible, it's like, well, there's the physical realm and the spiritual realm. So we're at least aware of different dimensions, because, you know, there's a lot of movements trying to pray against those, you know, put on the armor, blah, blah, blah.
So our identity, as Scott tried to write about this morning, and he did, I shouldn't say try, he wrote about how we are identified by appearance, how we look, right? But our real identity is a substance that's has no time barriers. Our real identity is in knowing who we are. We exist. We are. We, as God in us, we exist as endless, timeless beings.
See, what I tried to get, across, I was actually speaking about workplace conflict.
Yeah,
and put it in that context. But you said it right. You know, we are personified, and we are viewed not only by our appearance, but also by what other people say about us.
Jesus, as we've talked about months ago, his whole role and task was to help us recover our identity, who we really are.
Yeah.
We had lost the concept because of the fall of our union with God.
We're still struggling to.
Well, and our Bibles, unfortunately, and our preachers today aren't helping in this.
No.
They're still telling us, oh, no, wait, your real life begins in heaven. Right? Hold on, brother. You have to die to get eternal life.
So until then, can I be like Jesus?
Well, that's all you can do is try to be like him.
Is that what Paul was referring to in Galatians 2:20? Is to
obviously not.
I've been crucified with Christ, so I am mm-hmm. now like him.
Mm-hmm. Jesus' whole role, we think, was to give us a ticket to go to heaven.
Yeah.
Dying for our sins, giving us forgiveness. And while that partly is true, it's not the full picture.
Didn't he have to, when he forgave our sins, didn't he also, as it says in Romans, didn't he need to put sin to death in order for him to come into us?
Yeah. Sin was done away with.
Yeah.
Okay, what is sin? Sin is the concept of being separated from God.
Right.
That's the root of sin.
But he needed to put that to death.
Yes.
In order to have mm-hmm. that indwelling spirit with us.
But Scott, remember, it wasn't him who had to die.
No.
It's us.
Yeah.
We had to die to that erroneous falsehood existing in our hearts, in our minds.
Like Paul said, the first part of that verse, I have been crucified with mm-hmm. Christ.
So with
is there any place in scripture that says he died for my sins? Is that a misstatement?
Yes, Paul says he died for us.
But, he died for us.
Right, but here's the thing, Arnold. Mm-hmm. How you interpret that verse depends on your filter. If you look at it from the union side of God, Jesus is dying. He made it possible to take us into that place of dying. If you read it from the standpoint of the tree of knowledge of separation, then yes, he's our substitute. He died in our place. So there's two very distinct opposites there. He didn't just die for us. And that's how we typically read it in scripture.
So what about
with us?
He died with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We in him.
More properly, as Paul says, we died with him. He's the one that took us into death. He became us. And so we could entertain dying. So we literally could die.
2 Corinthians 5:21.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
Christ became mm-hmm. sin.
So when it says he should be giving it to them, even life aeonian, what he's saying is, I'm going to give you a restored identity of who you are in the Father, in me, our union. Mm-hmm.
Which is the new Adam. Yeah. Get away with the old Adam.
Exactly.
Right. So the new DNA, spiritual DNA.
Right, which is eternal, endless.
Yeah, you see, now that
still lives in ages, still lives in time.
That I can comprehend us living in right now.
Okay.
Because we're not, Christ being the second Adam, mm-hmm. has given of himself to give us that identity.
Mm-hmm.
And once we have that identity, one, we don't have any more sin because mm-hmm. you know, we have that mindset that we're not separated from God.
Yeah. But and Scott, who is living?
Jesus is.
Are we living?
Well, we're living in him. You have to understand is that old, you know, that old person that we once were. Mm-hmm. The verse that people like to toss around is all have sinned. That's gone.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is alive is that new creation, that new identity.
You know, Scott, I'm not sure I ever was that person. If I've been in Christ always and I just didn't realize it as a little boy growing up,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then it kind of does away with this. Man, there was some kind of end at some point in my life that took me from that old person to who I am now. The more we deal with this issue, is the issue of sin becomes less and less of an issue for me. Mm-hmm. And as it sinks in that. That has died in me and sin is no more. Mm-hmm. You know, then I kind of see in other people and myself that when there's mistakes that are made or hurtful mm-hmm. things, that it really is just a matter of kind of someone's behavior and then there's some consequence to it. But God doesn't see sin and sin is no more. Mm-hmm. So see,
what you've it is
very freeing to me to actually see it that way and live that way. Oh, very same. Free.
Same.
What you've described there is Romans 6:6-11.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where you know Paul basically says we are to consider ourselves dead to sin
mm-hmm. and alive
in Christ.
Right.
This is going to sound odd, but I swear, as a very, very, very young girl, and my grandmother just took it upon herself because apparently my parents weren't doing the job. And I'm talking like third grade, maybe fourth, definitely before fifth grade, and told me about Jesus and what he did for us and that all he wants from us is one thing. And I remember thinking, oh, what is that thing? I will buy him a million shirts. She's like, no, he just wants our heart. And I remember it just being so like, but then after that, I was so aware of God. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like I got it more back then mm-hmm. than I do now, because I didn't even know what sin was or care. But I knew that I knew that I knew when I looked mm-hmm. up in the sky and I felt him and I knew that there was a God
mm-hmm.
and that mm-hmm. he loved me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I had to start memorizing the wages of sin is death right. to be correct yeah. in certain circles and all of that.
All have sinned.
Yes. We were told predominantly that we are always falling short.
Thank you, Dennis.
Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short. That's why you go to church every Sunday to hear the preacher condemn you again, or you go to mass and hear the priest tell you, okay, you need to get picked up. You're falling short. Come on.
We'll just give the pastor more material for next week.
Well, yeah, that's why you keep coming back, because you feel like, okay, maybe this week I'll get more, I'll catch up or something.
Yeah.
You know, this idea of freedom, though, I see myself as renewing my mind.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff that I was raised, and I was raised just like all of you,
yeah,
in the Bible and Bible school and reading the Bible as many times as you can and study groups on the Bible. But renewing of my mind is freedom. And this issue, the weight of what used to be called sin in my life is dissipating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is renewing my mind.
Mm-hmm. Arnold, you are a pastor's worst enemy, Arnold. I'll tell you that mm-hmm. right now.
Well, you know what? God wasn't isn't surprised by pastors and churches and Billy Graham and altar calls. I mean, yeah. Someone has said in an earlier session we've had that, you know, it's brought a lot of people into the presence of Christ and and ponder the issue. What does it mean to love Christ? And am I loved by God? So I have no beef with all that. It's all going to take care of itself anyway. Dennis, in my mind.
Dennis gave a link to something that I wrote last weekend called, what was the title? Religion versus Relationship. And it really part of my days at New Hope were my inspiration for that. And it's like, I was brought up, going to church on Sunday and being part of the praise and worship service and the music and the hymns and the altar calls and all of that. But that still didn't bring me to know Christ or to know God any closer or any more of a relationship than what I wanted.
Yeah, and I've had that quest all my life. And if anything's brought me into this series of conversations we're having, is that I've wanted to know Christ. And as I always Paul says, I want to know him better and better. I want to know him. That magnet is in me too.
Well, I think if we have Christ in us, like we claim to, that's our desire. Our desire is to know him deeper and know him better.
Sure.
And we will have ages in which for his revelation to unfold.
Yeah.
In us. Can you believe that if that doesn't happen in this age, it may happen in another?
Can we get the fast forward version of the?
Let's skip the ages, God, and get down to the final one. That's what I want.
Yeah. He says, no, it's my way, not yours.
But this, as we talked last week, remember what we talked about last week? We talked about the glory. Father, glorify me. This is what Jesus was referring to. Show yourself, unfold yourself in me, in this current realm, this age in which I'm here now. And this is not going to end here. It's going to keep continuing. And I'm going to give this glory, this unfolding of God in human life to my disciples. And they're going to pass it on, the concept and the beautiful gift of Aeonian life to others who believe them.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the big reasons why he wants to be glorified through us, is that so that others will come to know him.
Yeah. So this Aeonian life is learning and grasping the idea that we exist as eternal beings through the ages. We have this glory of God being him seeing or being seen in us, his character unfolding, we becoming more aware of who we are. And the word eternal life is a very poor substitute to try to describe that. And furthermore, it's not something that we are hoping to get someday or having to die to obtain. We have it now. We have an eternal existence in us, even though we are bound in time and may go through several ages with the same eternal existence or being of I am.
Well, when you say that we have an eternal existence, even though we're bound by time, that's a perfect description right there of the two ways of thinking. The one that we have an eternal existence, that's our true identity.
Right.
The one that says, well, we're bound by time. Well, that's our That's the false identity.
That's the appearance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we defined by appearance?
No.
We're defined by a reality that's hidden in a sense. Where our identity is in an existence that is what the Bible calls substance.
Right? Isn't that part of the mystery, though?
That's the mystery.
Yeah, our essence is not detectable with the human eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's why Paul says we can't judge by appearance.
Right.
Right.
We have to judge by the essence, that who we really are. And all of us, every human is really Christ, whether they know it or not. And that's the issue, is the knowledge of him, of who we are. And this, that, see, that that's the new birth. Oh, this is who I am. I'm no longer disconnected from God. I realize I'm one with God.
I think one of God's greatest desires is that you see this in John 3:17, was that everybody would come to know who they really are.
Yeah, may I correct you? There's John 17:3, not 3:17.
Well, no, remember John 3:17? John 3:16 is
God's love for the world. I'm sorry. Okay.
And then John 3:17 is so that through him all may be saved.
Okay, I see. Were you with that? Uh-huh.
Which is similar to John 17.
That's interesting. 3:17, 17:3. Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
See, a lot of people, John 3:16 has been overused.
It's misunderstood.
Yeah. But then you get into, I correct people. I say, well, you're forgetting John 3:17.
Mm-hmm.
The verse after that, which tells us that through Christ, all will be saved.
So let's just
you can't be saved unless you go through him.
Okay. Yeah.
He's the gateway.
Yeah. Here it is. John 3:16 in the concordant literal.
Yeah.
For thus God loves the world so that he gives his only begotten son, that everyone who is believing in him should not be perishing, but may be having life aeonian.
Mm-hmm. So that's what the new concordant says.
That's the concordant literal life aeonian. New Testament. Mm-hmm. Yeah, life aeonian. Doesn't say eternal life.
No.
That's something that we're going to maybe have someday. No, we don't have eternal life. We have life aeonian, life being even in ages, even now in time.
Life that spans the ages.
Yes, that's the most common definition for aeonian life.
So I have this burning question, but I don't want to derail, or I don't want to. Maybe it could be an extracurricular question.
I'll just do it anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Try it on us, Beth.
Okay. So at the time I thought this guy was very, very smart, but kind of kooky.
Mm-hmm.
But it was on a layover, and it was one of the pilots, and it was a 3-hour layover. And the conversation was just, for me, it was mind-blowing, and yet like, and he was, and it's very similar to this new paradigm that we're in, but at the time I wasn't ready. But he was okay. So trying to keep in mind, like when you said, I remember questioning you, like, then if we die and we don't go away to heaven, what are we, what do we do until, you know, until the day of reckoning or whatever? You said, and then Christ dying on the cross was retroactive for people who had died in the Old Testament and all of that kind of stuff. So there's a world that we cannot see. Do you think that we get a choice when we die? Not all of us, but if we wanted to, like, you can live again. You can go back and do not as the same you, but like until the day of reckoning or whatever, because basically those who have already died are biding their time.
Reincarnation.
Okay, I know I don't make sense.
Well, you're basically saying, do we have the choice of redoing some things or going back and being in a different age?
But not to redo what we've already done.
Yeah.
Just to like, or maybe if we feel like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe we failed in this life.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. We weren't loving, or yeah. we weren't this, or we weren't that.
Mm-hmm. So Beth, is that reincarnation? Are you talking about reincarnation?
Like, yeah, but then it sounds like I believe in reincarnation and I don't, and I'm not, and you know, no. and I've never been to a chakra in India and I don't care to.
The Buddhist monks are big into that.
Yeah, yes. I know. Yes. I know. And karma and all of that.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, when we're talking about spanning ages and we're talking about existing mm-hmm. And not being bound by our present three, maybe four dimensions.
Right.
Where are all those people? Where are all those spirits?
Yeah.
I just have one request. Don't send me back as Joe Biden.
Right.
Now, the problem with that thinking, that philosophy, is that it really is not, does not fit the pattern that God describes or we see in the scriptures. The pattern for with God is always progressive. And we're always in this state of becoming more and more of who we are. Now, why would someone want to go, or even God allow them?
No, I don't think
it's totally know. It's totally contrary to process that we see God unfolding for us.
Well, but not only that, I mean, the scripture speaks to the creation of the new heaven and the new earth. And if we go retrograde and something like that, isn't that inferring that we go back to the way things were and not the new?
Yeah, that it's incongruous. It doesn't fit in how God, we talked about his will, what his design for us, his plan, how to be revealed in us. And so it still smacks of us having an independence.
Yeah.
Self and thinking that we can traverse time and do whatever.
That sounds more like the, more like something, for somebody who doesn't want to leave this life.
Mm-hmm. We do know that there will be people and are people, as you suggested, Beth, who died without the knowledge of Christ.
Right.
But that's what the ages are for.
Yeah.
If not in this age, the next age.
Yeah, that's what I really didn't describe it well. And I honestly, I'm bound by my own brain and articulation faults. But
so think of it this way: when people who died before Christ was even, hundreds and hundreds of years,
right,
prior to Christ, maybe even 1,000 years, and in the days of Noah. Where are those people? Okay.
And they're under the old system.
Yeah. And then Christ comes at the Bible says, at an appointed time. Right. And so the age of Christ now, those people are brought forward into this age and given the opportunity. That's why, and here again, please, question this all day long in me. Here's the way it's forming in my mind, is that you see what happened. Jesus went, as he died, where did he go? He went into that, where these people are, this realm or whatever, and said, here I am. I'm life. Come on, be set free. He led captives free.
Isn't there a scripture that said that Jesus did travel to that dimension to free the captives?
Well, yeah. Peter talks about it. Paul talks about it.
The 3 days.
He descended. Yeah.
Descended, yeah.
Yeah. And
which doesn't mean into the core of the earth, into magma.
No, absolutely not. He descended, meaning he went into that region that we don't have any awareness to see right now, but he died and was in, he knew where it was. He did. He went there and preached. Set the captives free. The closest to that concept of that is what the Catholics developed.
Purgatory.
Yeah. The levels.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they got very exotic about how they described it, which is, yeah.
When you talk about the captives, are you talking about those people who had died before Christ was born?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I was trying to get at. Like they're like the days before Noah, the days, you know, mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. they, according, you know, to like Dennis was trying to tell me at one point, it's not that they were, because Jesus hadn't come yet, they were just destined for hell
mm-hmm.
in this place, but they have not transcended.
Mm-hmm.
And when Christ did come and die on the cross, it applied to them as well.
Exactly.
And Jesus mm-hmm. went to wherever they are, and mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. it's like they get another chance.
Yeah.
How many levels are purgatory worthy anyway?
How many levels, Jerry? Purgatory. Jerry and Joan?
We don't know about levels in purgatory.
Yeah. Yeah, just one level.
Just one level.
They're still counting them now.
Poor souls.
They're like, we like the top floor so far.
Yeah, right.
There's probably no end to them.
Yeah. Well, then you have writers like Dante and Jerome that tried to describe what they thought that was like. So then that becomes doctrine.
Right.
Yeah. Dante's Inferno.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
I had to read that.
So are we getting any closer to understanding what Aeonian really means?
I think so. And I like that concept. And now we've got to read that scripture that you told us about where it's being,
mm-hmm.
the word mm-hmm. Aeonian is yeah. being used, or it should be used.
John 3:16 is the first place in John. And then you can see it in John 5, it's 5:50, several places. If you do a concordance, in fact, you can go everywhere where the Bible describes eternal life, particularly in the Gospels, John particularly. And you know that's likely to be Aeonian, is how the English is trying to translate that word.
Don't overlook.
I thought it was John 17:3, not
John 17:3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Don't overlook John 3:17.
3:17. Actually, yeah, 3:16, but life, Aeonian life does not appear. That word does not appear in 3:17.
Right.
It appears
but
in
the
17:3.
Idea, Scott is suggesting the idea is there, and it is. So I'll send you the link to the little book, All.
Yep.
In the follow-up today. And I might think of something else that I would suggest that you might read further. I would suggest you go to just Google Aeonian and see what you come up with. And I think you'll find some very interesting articles and definitions.
Mm-hmm.
And see how this continues to unfold in our minds of what is this life that Jesus is giving us and that we live in? Life that spans, age abiding, life of the ages, all the ways that we've tried to describe it. It's just phenomenal, mysterious. How can we fully understand the God, the fullness of God that lives in us now? It's going to take numbers of ages for us to fully comprehend mm-hmm. how that happens and how that works. But this is our life in Christ. This is who we are. And it's all getting little bit by little bit, it's becoming more evident. This is our real life. This is who we are as Jesus. Powerful.
Well, the big thing with me personally is getting a handle on a day-to-day life with walking with Jesus, you know, instead of someone you pray to.
Yeah.
The concept of his being with me every moment of every day and every decision, that walking with Jesus is something I'm really working on, you know.
Well, and Jerry, you're discovering this. All of us are not trying to do this. We're allowing this to unlock, come forth in our minds and our hearts. And we're learning, as you said, so aptly, we're learning not to look at God or Jesus, but to look with him.
Yeah.
And so that changes our prayer life. It changes how we see issues like COVID. It changes how we see world events.
Yeah.
Our neighbors in trouble, how we see sickness. What are you seeing, Father? I want to know through your eyes. I want to see what you're seeing. I want to see with you.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And I want to ask and pray with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And this, by the way, much more we could talk about here. This is what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Pray in Jesus' name is not something we add to our prayers. it's not the formula.
No.
Praying in Jesus' name is praying as Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can still put our wish list in there.
Put all you want in there, Scott.
Hey, the scripture says I'll get it if I ask for it in his name.
Okay. Yes, as if you're asking as Jesus. Is this what Jesus wants?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If it's what I want, isn't that what he wants?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Probably not.
Now you're going back on your teaching.
Okay, for another time.
We will be praying like that for David.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're praying health and strength.
Yes.
This is the will of God, that we be whole, that we be totally body, spirit, and mind in wholeness with God, in union with God. All right, next Wednesday, a special edition for those that want to hop on. Wednesday 10.
Who all is on Wednesday?
Bettendorf, Beth. Who else has jumped on? David Fulton normally is. There's two or three of us. Not a lot. It isn't expected that everybody will be. It's just whoever. It's kind of that's why I call it special edition. It's not something that you're missing necessarily, but those that want to have more time and conversation. Okay.
And Dennis, are you planning on next Sunday? Are you?
Why?
What's next Sunday? Is that a holiday?
No. You might be referring to, let's see what's going to happen here.
October calendar.
Yeah. No, we're fine. We'll have Sundays until the 31st, which I'll be gone. So.
Well, good. You'll have time.
You can still do it. You can still have Zoom.
You'll have time to celebrate my birthday then, because you don't leave until the 31st.
Yes. No. We'll make sure we celebrate Scott's birthday.
Yes. By all means.
I was talking about you, Dennis.
Well, especially me. 24th of October. Scott.
24th.
Big day.
Well, every day is our birthday, right, Dennis?
Yes, that's right. All right, gang. Have a great day.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you all.
You too.
God bless.
Right. Yeah, take care, everyone. Bye-bye.